Dear congregation, today we celebrate Thanksgiving. May I ask you a question this morning? Why are you here this morning? Perhaps you have come this morning with a prayer in your heart. Lord, please teach me to be more thankful. I feel I am often so thankless. Perhaps you have come here this morning with a question in your heart. You want to learn, how does thankfulness really work? Perhaps you have come here this morning busy in your mind, focused on the meal. Maybe you as a mom, I hope it's going to be all right. Or as a dad, I'm looking forward to that meal. Or perhaps you're here just... Yeah, that's what we do every year, right? A good custom, yeah. We read in the Bible that we have to be thankful. So Thanksgiving again. Or perhaps your parents said, come, let's go. And you're here. And your brother would have been home. I hope not, but it might be. Today we are going to celebrate Thanksgiving. And this sermon is going to be about two things. Thanks and giving. We are going to consider Thanksgiving. It starts somewhere. Then it's encouraged by something. And then it gives something. And then it ends somewhere. So we're going to see it start, how it's inspired, what it gives, and where it ends. By the end of the sermon, it should be clear what I'm saying here. So let's consider that together from Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11. We're going to focus primarily on verses 10 and 11. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee, and unto thine house. And thou, and the Levite, and the stranger that is among you. So first of all, our theme is sharing in God's good gifts. We consider... From receiving to remembering, first, to releasing and rejoicing, second. So first of all, let's consider from receiving to remembering. As we read this chapter, Deuteronomy 26, verses 1 through 11, there is one word that stands out. One word. And it's repeated over and over. Boys and girls, maybe you heard it. It's a verb, it's an action word. And the word is to give. Listen for it, just a moment. Verse 1. When thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Verse 2. And thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 3b, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. Verse 9, he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land, even the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 10, and now behold, I have brought the first fruit of the land which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Verse 11, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. You hear that? Who does the giving? God. The Lord. The Lord thy God, it says here. Covenant-keeping God. He is faithful to his promises. The I am that I am. And what is he giving to his people? Well, the promised land. And not only that, he also gives a harvest from that, with first fruits that he has given to his people. And then verse 11 tells us he has given every good thing to his people. So another question, is there anything in your and my life that they and us have not received? There's actually nothing. Nothing. Everything that we have, that we are, is received from the Lord. Doesn't the Bible say that somewhere else? Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. So let's make it a bit more specific for this day. You hope to sit around a table maybe later today, or maybe for some you have maybe said not today. But you sit around the Thanksgiving dinner sometime today and you look at the table. It's made of wood. Where does the wood come from? Well, God allowed trees to grow, and some gifted craftsman took that wood from a sawmill or bought it, and God gave him the energy, and he made a table out of it and then sold it. And God had given you the money, and so you lay the money down and you buy that table, and now you as a family sit around this table and you eat this meal. You have worked for it. You have spent money for it. That all is a gift, including this table. It's a gift. God gave you that table to use it. Now look at that meal for a moment and look at the food. There's this loaf of bread perhaps on the table. Where does that come from? Now, the farmer had seeds, bought seeds because God gave him the ability to make money the year before. And so he sowed the seed and the seed began to grow. He couldn't make it grow. God gave the growth. And so that came, the seed miraculously and powerfully were multiplied because God gives that. And the farmer now has sown the seed and God gave him the wisdom for all that work. And now he prays to the Lord and God gives rain and God gives sunshine and God gives the right temperature. And the seed begins to sprout, the seed that dies in the earth and then begins to grow and sprout. And so he sees all these plants and all the wheat in the harvest. He sees it coming up because God gives it. Till the time of harvest. And then the harvest comes and takes the wheat, grind it with the given strength from the Lord, and brings that perhaps to a baker, and the baker buys that flour and takes it, and he with his skills bakes the bread, or maybe you buy it at the store and as a mom and you make it into a bread and there it is on your table. And that bread is saying, this is a gift of God on your table. And I could look at the meal and look at the forks and the plates and everything on the table, the cranberry sauce and the turkey and the piece of meat and the scoop of salad. And it's all telling us, given, all a gift from God. And the house we live in, and the beds we sleep in, and the cars we drive in, and the gardens we plant, and the country we live in, and the world we live in, it's a gift. It's a gift of God. And those are only things. What about people? The parents God gives us, the children God gives us, the air we breathe, the bodies we live in, the souls we have, all these things are gifts of God. And day after day, we receive all these good things from God. And we haven't even begun to talk about what God does spiritually for us. what gifts He gives us spiritually. But the tragic thing about you and me is, ever since the fall, we have this deep suspicion in us. Ever since the fall, we had naturally doubt that God is willing to give us good gifts. All the while being surrounded by those good gifts. Ever since the fall, we don't trust God to be generous. And still, He has been every day to us. Ever since the fall, we love God's gift. By nature, we love His gifts more than Him. Ever since the fall, we take God's gifts for granted. Now, God knows about that. He knows that from you and me. He knew that of His own people, Israel. And so in Deuteronomy 8, the Lord already shows that He knows that when they enter into the land that flows with milk and honey and all the good things, and when they are enjoying all the good things the Lord's hand has given to them, and Deuteronomy 8 talks about that it's the land of brooks of water, so it's watered, the land of deep springs, the land of wheat and barley and fig trees and pomegranates and olive oil and honey, where they could eat bread without scarceness, so no lack. And the Lord knew that they would easily forget who gave all those things to them. And so He says in verse 10 of that chapter, chapter 8, that when you have eaten and you are full, then you should bless the Lord your God for the good land which He has given you. And then He says, but wait a moment. Don't forget something. Beware that you don't forget the Lord your God. The Lord shows that He knows it's a temptation, that the people's heart is proud and just set their heart on all the things that He gives without thanking God. And so He shows in verse 17 of that chapter, chapter 8 of Deuteronomy still, that it's easy to say, actually, you know, my power and my might and the might of my hand has gotten me all this wealth. And the Lord corrects there by saying, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now back to chapter 26. God knows this temptation. To take things for the Lord graciously comes to the help of His people. And what does He do in this chapter? He gives us a little liturgy, if you will, Thanksgiving ceremony, so that we can trace every good gift back to God's gracious hand. Well, let's look at that. How did it go? What did we read about? Well, the chapter tells us that they need to come to the house of God and they need to take this little basket, Thanksgiving basket. And they had to fill it up with all the first fruit. So that means the first and the best was going to go to the Lord. And they bring it to the temple, to the priest, and then the priest will set it before the Lord. And next, the Lord says, well, I will tell you what to say. Just like sometimes our young children, when we are raising them and they forget to say thank you, when they receive a gift from someone else, we say, please, say thank you, my son, my daughter. And God is, as it were, in this chapter, taking His people by the hand, and He says to His sons and daughters, His spiritual sons and daughters, please, say thank you. And so in verses 5 through 10a, we read exactly what they need to say. They need to make a little confession as they come to the house of God. They had to recite that. And then let me go with you over the main points. Let me summarize this for you. Verse 5a, first thing they need to say is that they were actually related to deceitful Jacob, who tried to do things his own way. Jacob is described here as a Syrian ready to perish. we could say, is a nomad or a person, an unprotected person, not with a secure dwelling and home. Why? We know. Because of his deceit, his own sins. And God wants his people to start right there. To remember their past, to look at those humble origins. That's first. Verse 5b tells us, secondly, that they are to remember by that God's giving hand, that this little group of 70 people that went into Egypt with Jacob as their father has now become a great nation. This is what God is, a gift of God. God's gracious hand protected them, blessed them, and multiplied them. The third thing they need to remember in verse 6 is they are to remember that they then were treated badly, as we heard last Sunday night about the Egyptian, from the Egyptian, the hard bondage, a picture of sin. They had to remember that too. Even their hardships needed to be remembered, the difficulties, the trials. And then they had to remember what they did next, that they cried out to the Lord in verse 7 and 8, and remember their bitter cries and how the Lord came to help them in their cries. To set them free, to redeem them, to buy them back, so that they had salvation at last. And then the fifth thing they needed to remember in verses 9 through 10a, how the Lord has brought them into the promised land according to his promise, and he has blessed them with all these good gifts. Plenty. Food, drink, clothing. Because God is generous and God is good. So each of these things, they had to remember what? God's giving hand, God's generous hand, God's great and powerful hand, God's gracious hand. They had to begin with their humble origins. Remember that you were a slave. And they had to recite this, each one of them. They had to jog their memories. They had to run their minds over the track and start at receiving whatever you received and put it in gear. Let's remember. Let's put our minds on all the good things God has given. Maybe you do that later on today as you sit around the table. What are you thankful for? You go one to the next. Children, have you thought about it already, boys and girls? What are you thankful for? Israel here was to remember everything they had to receive and then trace it back to God, to his gracious and generous hand. Not just the gifts, but also the fact that he had brought them out of slavery. That God is able to deliver us, yes, spiritually. And that's the greatest thing we can put our minds on today. By nature, we are sinful, miserable people in bondage, unthankful, ungrateful, grumbling about all kinds of things. But God wants us to bring us out of that bondage into the liberty of the children of God, out of the idolatry of sin, and set us free so that we begin to enjoy all the good things that God gives us and showers us with, and that we would be overflowing with thankfulness. And the greatest gift he has ever given, especially to put our minds on that today, what is the greatest gift that he has given us? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Elsewhere it says, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift, Jesus Christ. To let our minds dwell on what we have in Jesus Christ, all the riches. If you're a believer here this morning, that he took you out of your bondage, that he set you free, that he elected you from eternity, that he shelters you in his Son, that he loves you, accepts you, that you now have a new identity, that you are no longer a slave to sin, but that you now are a child of God by grace. What gifts he showers upon you, child of God. And that he delivers you by the cross, by the blood, his very own blood, a gift to set you free, to redeem you, a people zealous of good works. And that he keeps on showering you with gifts from the Holy Spirit, that he pours out his Holy Spirit so that you understand his word, so that you are changed and that you are becoming joyful and thankful and meek and all these beautiful fruits of the Spirit, that they become to come to flourishing in your lives. For that God did not even spare his own Son, but he will also with him freely give us all things. Child of God, you are rich because you serve a generous God. We read, all things are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. The Bible tells us in that very same chapter that through faith in Christ, God's servants, God's world, God's our life, our death, our present things and future things are all ours through Christ, given to us. Every gift comes from God, especially spiritually. Think about it this morning for a moment, child of God. All the good gifts he has given you in this past season. Trace them back. Let your mind dwell on them, especially on that greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Think about it this way. Every crumb of bread, every sip of water or drink, or whatever it is, for you who are in Christ Jesus is bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. He poured out his own blood so that you now in freedom may enjoy and praise and thank God for it. That's amazing. Bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now I want to say something to you who are not in Christ here. God is showering you every day with these gifts as well. That's just because he's so good. Why are you distrusting God? And more, who is going to pay the bill of what you eat and drink and do? To pay the bill of your sins too. Is that going to be presented to you at the last day? Here. This is a bill. You have to pay the punishment forever. I gave all these gifts, good gifts to you, to point you to the right direction. Here's another good gift. Look, I'm good. Serve me. Serve me with joy. You can trust me. I have even given my Son. Why don't you believe me? Oh, that you would come and see it today. God is good. And he shelters you with good things every day. And he offers his only begotten Son to sinners who say, who distrust him and say, well, I do my own thing. He offers, here's the greatest gift ever possible, Jesus Christ. Come, receive him by faith. Humble yourself. Receive my Son. Trust him to cleanse you from all sin. Everything in life is a gift. Will you recognize God for it? Will you go from thanks to giving? That brings us to our second thought. From releasing to rejoicing. So children, our text in verse 10 tells us what the Israelites had to say in their thanksgiving ceremony as well. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And then it instructs them to, and thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God. And so, because God is this generous giver of all good things, rather than cling to the things that we have, because he has opened his hand and freely gives, now, we don't want to cling to it, but we want to open our hands and give from the bounty that we have received of him to bless others. And so as they have to humbly bow before God and worship him, the good giver of each gift, they place this gift before the Lord. It was saying, Lord, I'm not my own. This is all given. My life is not my own. My money is not my own. The gifts, the food that I have is not my own. This is all because, Lord, I thank thee and praise thee for all the good gifts. I want to give something back. And so they set that before the Lord. It was dedicated. Not that God himself needed any food, but it went to his servants. And they would be allowed to eat of it. And these were then the first fruits. I said it already. The first and the best was to be for the service of the Lord. I hear echo in the New Testament. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these other things, yeah, I know you need them. Don't worry about them. But I know you need them. Everybody's needs, food, clothing, shelter, and all those things, you know, those are mine to give. I will add them to you. But first seek the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added unto you. But you say, Pastor, they didn't just need to do that with their minds, right? No. But it is often when we start putting our minds actively on all the good things that God gives us, that by, as we do so prayerfully, it sinks down to our hearts. And as we realize more of God's goodness, it will stretch forth our hand in giving. So it is today. Thinking about God's goodness is supposed to reach down to our hearts so that we, because of the good giver, open our hands and do the same. Give back to the service of those who need it. God's service and those who are needy. And God tells us in the Bible, I love cheerful givers. And we know that if we want to be a cheerful giver, generously giving, you and I need to know the greatest gift. So I say it again. Have you come and received God's greatest gift, Jesus Christ? He is actually the first fruit, the Bible tells us. He was placed in the tomb as a seed that fell into the ground. Died. John 12 verse 24 tells us, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. There he is. Jesus is the first fruit. The greatest of first fruits. He's the first fruit who slept, that is, died, the Bible tells us. He came forth out of the grave. Why? To give life, everlasting life, to many. 1 Corinthians 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. And you know what is so beautiful? God's plan is so amazing. His salvation is so amazing. When Jesus came forth after he was crucified and he rose from the grave, you know which day it was? It was the day of first fruits. That very same day, the priest would go and wave the first fruits of the harvest and present it to the Lord. That day, the people would come with a little basket and say, Lord, we thank thee for the harvest. And here's the greater harvest, Jesus, the first fruits, who gives life. When you eat him by faith, he gives life to your soul. Receive him. He becomes part of you. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is this. Someone put it like so beautifully like this. Christ was the walking gift coming to us, meeting us, seeking us out. Yes, Christ is the gift who seeks out his recipients. He's coming to you. In his word and through his spirit. And he says, receive me. I'm a gift. As many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. And so we receive. By the grace of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive him. And he says, come, enter my family. All that I have is yours. Rejoice in it. All the good gifts, they are yours. I bought them for you with the price of my precious blood. Delight yourself in the goodness of the Lord. I'm yours. And you see, the more we see the glorious giving of the Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious generosity of God, not sparing his own son for us, but giving Jesus Christ to us, the more our hearts become like his. Not clinging, but opening. I want to be like him. I want to lose myself and I want to live like him. Find my life in him. I want to die to my selfishness. I want to rejoice and worship God and God alone. And the more we rejoice in God, the more you and I are able to open our hands and be generous and give to the Lord in his service. Our time, our energy, our minds, our hearts, everything. And the more we do see the goodness of the Lord, the more our heart goes to those who don't have. And to the needy. Lord, make me a generous giver to that person and that person. And by the Spirit, you want to be led to give to those who are in need. Our needy neighbors. Yes, money. But what better gift than the gospel? You see, a giving heart is a heart made cheerful by the gospel. A heart of a cheerful giver is someone who has received the beautiful gift of Jesus Christ, God's very Son, by faith, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And that fills us up with the goodness of God. And that fills us up with the gospel. And that fills us up and opens our heart to be a generous and thankful giving. As the Lord has blessed us. He never asks us to do more than we have. But as the Lord blesses us. Look at verse 11, how it puts it. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thy house, thou and the Levite and the stranger among you. The more we see God's giving hand, the more we rejoice in who he is. rejoice in all the good gifts he gives. Did you know actually that in the book of Deuteronomy, several times when the people are commanded to come to the temple and to the house of God, the Lord says, you come before me with joy. Psalm 100, right? We sang it together. God is not only the God who is generous beyond compare, but he wants to be served joyfully by us. Fruit of the Spirit is joy, peace, and so on. God is the most cheerful, joyful giver. And when we learn to trace back everything that we have to him, there is a million, if not a trillion, reasons to be thankful for in our lives. And to serve him with joy for. You know, actually, Deuteronomy also tells us that those who did not come joyfully before the Lord. Now, of course, if you're mourning, that's excluded. Because then you still may come before the Lord. But those who did not come during the feasts with joy, they actually had to be disciplined. It says here, Deuteronomy 28:47-48. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things, therefore thou shalt serve thine enemies, which the Lord thou shalt send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want and lack of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. That's something. God is so good that he says, I want you to be joyful in my presence. Come, let's count our blessings today. Let's begin. Let's jog our memories. Come, let's embrace the greatest gift he gives. Come, if you are here this morning and you lack joy, realize that God actually wants you to be joyful and gives you every reason to be joyful in him. And that thankfulness is a gift of him. And that thanklessness is actually a sin. And that he wants to give us everything to richly enjoy in his presence, to take all things with thanks, thankfulness and prayer, and to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Have you ever thought of it this way? God wants us to be joyful in him, happy, satisfied, through Christ, through his unspeakable gift, through the gospel, and because of the gospel in everything that he gives. So I pray this morning that the joy of the Lord may be your strength today. Let me come back to the question where I started. Why are we here this morning? We are here because we need both thanks and giving. And we saw how thanksgiving works and how he helps us to be thankful. I pray that we would see by the transformed life, by the transformation of our gracious God, that he is that good and gracious giver. So let me come back to this, where I began. Thanksgiving starts somewhere. It's encouraged by something, and it gives something, and it ends something. Let's see if we can fill in the blanks now. Where does it start? The generous hand of God open to us. He gives good gifts for both body and soul. What encourages thanksgiving? We remember. We use our head. We're reminded of God's good gifts. Creation. Salvation. How does giving become part of thanksgiving? We see, we remember with our minds, we see God's hand, we remember with our minds, and we open our hands. Because it has reached our hearts, the gospel, and His goodness, and His grace. And so, where does it end? What is the purpose of thanksgiving? Rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Worship Him. Bow down before Him. Enjoy all the good gifts He gives. But rejoice especially in the greatest gift of all, Jesus Christ. And so ascribe all glory to Him and worship Him alone who has given His own Son to save us. Let me close with this verse from Romans. For of Him, He makes good gifts. And through Him, He gives good gifts. And to Him are all things. He desires all the praise of good gifts. To whom be glory forever.